Come on, now start it to me. Sing me a song. Let's keep the music grooving. We're going strong. Come on,
Ted. Ted Steele here. And, oh yes, we'll sock it to you this monitor half hour, but with a light touch. We'll find out how crying comedian Rip Taylor gets his laughs. Right now, it's monitor music. Remember Dionne Warwick, who couldn't find her way to San Jose? Well, maybe this is why she wanted to get there.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you? When there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you. And I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me. Part of me. Oh, 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 yeah. If you should find you miss the sweet and tender love we used to share, just come back to the places and I'll be there. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? When there is always something there to remind me. For I was born to love you, and I will never be free when there is.
On occasion, I laughed until I cried. On stage, comedian Rip Taylor gives that saying a unique twist. He cries until we laugh, and it works. That's on stage. What's he like off stage? Monitor's Frank Knight went to find out, armed with 6 handkerchiefs, but he didn't need them.
Rip Taylor, do you have writers, or do you write your own material? Do you come up with your own jokes?
I find situations that happen, you know. Like, this is the truth. Coming here to Springfield, I was in New York, and I called an airlines. I says, how do you get to Springfield? And they said to me, I swear this is the truth. How am I going to tell you this, sir? And I thought the guy was going to, like, was a guy. I thought he was going into a routine. He said, well, gee, there's no airport there. But you land, you leave LaGuardia, and you land in Bradley Field, and they has a limousine that picks you up and meets every flight. I said, that's marvelous. How many flights do you have? He says, 1 a week. Well, I fell to the floor. I thought he's putting me on. He said, I didn't mean to say that. He said, well, we have 2 flights, 1 at 7 a.m. and 1 at 2:30. If you miss a 7, you got plenty of time to catch a 2:30. Well, that's how you get material, because I'm going to embellish that. That's the truth. And then make it believable, but exaggerate it. That is what comedy is, isn't it?
If we're going into the philosophy of comedy now, just what is the thinking of a comedian? Does he see everything funny? or does he transpose everything in a funny way?
The way I work, I am very visual, and I like to think of myself as being a clown, not an intellectual. I don't like to do a performance and have people say, oh, he's very clever. I'm not clever. I'm funny. The talk, and they're all stand up and talk, and that's marvelous, and they're much more successful than I may ever be, but I like to do the slapstick and the corny and the thing and get those laughs. That's the name of the game. Comedian. Not intellectual. I love Mort Saul, but I mean, I wouldn't want to work like that. And I don't mean to use the word corn, but I like obvious things. I used a joke this evening. I said, in my crying routine, once I set the attitude that I'm crying and everything happens to me, I do lines like my artificial flower died and Mary Poppins is a junkie. Those stupid things that are shock. Those are for shock, to get their attention.
Rip Taylor, are you a nervous person?
Yes. Yes, I think that's why my act is that so quick. I like to talk fast, as I'm doing now, but I do it anyway. I'd rather have them listen to me if they want to, as opposed to saying, and I bought a suit with two pair of pants and burnt a hole in the coat. That's playing down to the intelligence of the people. I like to keep the attitude like, oh, frenzy, zany. That's the word I want, zany.
What about hecklers? Do you find comedians in the audience?
I never get a heckler because I talk so fast that they don't have a chance or a reason in which to talk, you know, and say things. I've only had about three in my whole life, and then I started crying, and I said, do you believe this, man? I'm doing a single, now I'm doing a double for 10 years. And it works because the audience feels sorry for me in the character of the crying, that they tell him to shut up, and I say, don't tell me, tell you, you know. I get that.
Association.
Crying. Yes, thank you very much.
Monitors Frank Knight, nimbly dashing into the conversation of fast-talking comedian Rip Taylor. I'll have to ask Frank sometime what it's like for a 33 RPM reporter interviewing a 78 RPM celebrity.
Daddy?
Yes, Kim?
Daddy, can I sing the song with you?
Oh, I think so, Kim. I tell you what, why don't you do the dum-diddy-dums, and we'll see what happens, okay?
Okay.
Let's take a walk.
Dum diddy dum.
Hand in hand.
Dum diddy dum.
Let me show you a wonderland. Let's take a walk.
Dum diddy dum.
Side by side.
Dum diddy dum.
Imagination.
Leonetti for Monitor Music. Let's take a walk. And the young lady with him, his daughter, Kim. And it's now 17 minutes after the hour. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
The New York State Insurance Department works toward these goals for you. Discover how by writing for the free booklet, How the New York State Insurance Department Serves You. Department of Insurance, 123 William Street, New York City, 10038. The Sakatumi Sound of WNBC Radio 66 New York starts weekdays at 5 a.m. And so do I, Big Wilson, in front earlier. 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays, where it's happening, WNBC Radio 66. Be here. 5 a.m., that's Sakatumi.
WNBC Radio 66 New York.
Monitor 68, I'm your host, Ted Steele. And let me show you how Monitor goes out of its way to make performers feel at home. Here's a song by the Lennon Sisters, and with a Lawrence Welk intro they heard so often. All right, girls, a one, a two, a three, what comes next?
As long as there's an apple tree, there'll be apple pie.
Monitor Sports. The Olympic Games are just two weekends away, and most national teams are either already in Mexico City or on their way. Just before the British team left London, Monitor's Jay Miller spoke to Sandy Duncan about the team's chances.
Mr. Sandy Duncan, you're the General Secretary of the British Olympic Association. In what sports in Mexico City do you think you'll have the best chances?
Well, of course, chances are always things I hate talking about, because there are always about six people who can win a gold medal in any event.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to talk about gold medals, I'll just talk about good chances. Well, I think we've got some good chances in track and field athletics, particularly the longer events and perhaps the 400-meter relay and certainly some of the women's events.
Did you win many medals in Tokyo?
Well, on the unofficial scoring table, which, of course, is thoroughly unofficial, we were, in fact, the ninth best country out of 95 countries, and we won 4 gold, 12 silver, and 2 bronze medals.
I think that's very respectable. Has fundraising been a problem for you here in Britain?
Oh, fundraising is always a problem, of course. But it's a problem that you're faced with and a problem you solve. And we're going to solve ours. Our fundraising is not going at all badly. I'm quite confident we shall have enough money to send everybody to Mexico City who's worthy of Olympic competition.
When I was in Mexico City some months ago, there was a proposal that during the training portion there that a resident British family in Mexico City would each more or less adopt one British athlete to orient them and show them around. Is that plan still in effect?
Well, something on those lines is certainly in effect. I think the major problem we have got, and for that matter any team has got, is going to be boredom in the village. To keep the morale high of that team, to keep them amused, to keep them happy, I reckon is a far greater problem than the altitude problem. And we are looking into the whole problem of how to do it and how to marshal the various British residents in Mexico City to help us.
Now, one final question. In the United States, there have been objections that the official Olympic attitude is not realistic enough on the question of amateurism in sports. How do people in Britain feel about this?
Well, here, of course, is the other nice problem, amateurism. As such, we believe that there must be a dividing line between amateurism and professionalism. We don't go along with the table tennis on this, nor for that matter the lawn tennis people on their idea of players only. Certainly not for Olympic competition. Whether the line is drawn in the right place at the moment is, of course, a matter for us all to debate. But at any rate, we believe there must and should be amateurism, and we hold to that line at the moment.
Thank you, Sandy Duncan, General Secretary of the British Olympic Association. This is Jay Miller in London for Monitor Sports.
Monitor Sports, comprehensive reports and late results throughout the weekend. Now here's Eddie Arnold, one of a kind in the entertainment business, singing his country heart out for Monitor Music.
Kiss me each morning for a million years. Hold me each evening by your side. Tell me you love me for a million years.
There's some easy listening planned for Monitor tomorrow. Happy Henry Morgan, your host, will be right here. And with him, Monitor regulars Dr. George Gallup, Joe Garagiola, and Bob Considine. And science fiction writer Frank Herbert will talk about life in America in the 21st century. Monitors heard in San Francisco and everywhere else in the nation. In Wichita, Kansas, listeners join us on KWBB. I'm Ted Steele, and you can quote me on that, or as someone else once put it,
Hark! Me, it's right here. Shakespeare's famous words are clear.